It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I've got to run to keep from high, and I'm bound to keep on riding. I got one more silver dollar, but I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the midnight rider.
Chris McMichael.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't know if it bite my tongue in the open, but I just did 12:03. Rick Monaco here with you on The Fan. You know how it works. I got you for 5 hours, taking you until 5 a.m. and the warm-up show right here on The Fan. Fliegelman on the other side. Connor still hanging out for a bit. 888-808-1019. And use it, Met fans. Let's go. Because now, I've said this a lot, and in moments like this is when you need to really know it and believe it. Playoff baseball's fun. And last night was not fun, I know that. But you have an opportunity tonight. They did not lose this series last night. All is not lost. It is a difficult game. It's a brutal 5-3 victory, a game that you were leading the whole time. And we'll get into it, get all the different situations, right? We'll get into how Mendoza handled the eighth inning. We'll get into all the ins and outs of this game, the sixth inning, where they're unable to get a run. And really, that's for me. And I heard some of you calling in as I was driving in listening to Keith. I don't think there's a doubt. We can quibble about how the manager handled the eighth inning. And we can quibble about whether Maton was the guy, having thrown three out of the last 4 days. He looked exhausted. And he's been so good for them. But in that spot there, how much further do you let him go after the home run, right? Whether you bring him in or not, once he gives up the home run, how do you feel about him? Diaz, who hasn't pitched for 1 day, pitched a ton on Monday to use him for the eighth inning. A lot of situations, a lot of different things that could have happened. Here's the big main thing that could have happened. The Mets could have scored more runs over multiple opportunities in this game. And if we're going to praise this offense, if I'm going to come on after the show yesterday and after Monday's game and talk about, oh, that inning and all the base hits and the battling in the opposite way and, oh, everything they did, oh, everything. If we're going to praise them when they're great and they have these bounce-back innings, which they showed again in this game, where they do bounce back. They get out early with the Nimmo base hit to take a lead. The Churio home run, which again we see in the eighth inning, but the Churio home run in the first to tie it, and then boom, the Mets come right back, and it just felt like, man, this team is relentless. This team won't stop. This team's going to keep scoring runs all day. And instead, they did absolutely nothing. 2 for 11 with runners in scoring position. And more than that, when I talk about the postseason, You got to hit home runs. You got to drive the baseball. And I think it's 14 out of their 15 hits in this series is singles. And on nights where you put it all together and you have the 5-1 rally you did the other night, that's great. That's great. You want to put up five on six singles? That's great. It's hard to do. That's what's been so impressive about the Mets. That's why I'm raving about them last night. Because it's not often in these playoff games that you see those type of rallies with infield singles and ground balls the other way. They said it on the broadcast. It's almost like they're building, knocking down the field into that pattern of just right through that first base and second hole. They're wearing it out. Like, they nothing but base hits the other way, base hits the other way. And that's, you know, good approach. Those are good at-bats, but ultimately, it's tough to continue to score without driving the baseball at all. And they came through, you know, they had multiple opportunities this game. And I can sense it. I can feel it. We've been there for a while. But you can really feel it and sense it right now. Most Met fans are going to be disappointed in how the eighth inning was handled. And we're going to get on the manager, but we love the manager. Manager's manager of the year. Right? I think you could argue that as of right now, Lindor's had a little bit of a quiet series. He's come through with some walks, sacrifice flies, scored some runs. But a little bit of a quiet series for Lindor. But you're certainly not going to get on Lindor. Who's the guy that we're going to get on? Pete Alonso, you can sense it right now, is going to draw the ire of the fan base. And you know what? Rightfully so. Because the guy continues to have zero impact on this team. It is remarkable. He's had good at-bats, right? He had a couple walks in game one. He gets a hit lead in this game. But the double play in the first inning when they have an opportunity to score more, and he hits into a double play and trips over the at-bat in that moment where the throw over to first and he's nowhere to be found. You're like, what the hell's going on? Where was Pete? And as terrible as he is, you know he's not a guy who doesn't hustle. And then you find out, no, it's just Pete being a little bit of the doofy guy he is, and he trips over the bat. But that's a moment where he can't come through. The strikeout in the fifth inning with Nimmo on at second base, flailing at that splitter in the ground. He has done nothing. He has played a brilliant first base, to be fair. He saved Lindor two errors in this game. He made a great play and saved McGill an error the other day, or obviously Severino in this game. Like, he's made great plays with picks in first. He makes the play down the line in the game on Monday that obviously Diaz doesn't cover, but he's been very good defensively, but he has done nothing offensively, nothing. And you can sense it. If tonight's game goes bad, there is one guy that is going to draw the ire. And it's not entirely fair, but he has done nothing. In the middle of this lineup, he has shown he's supposed to be the guy with some pop, and they are 14 out of 15 hits or singles, and it all feels like little cheapies the other way. And it's hard to win like that. But this offense continues to blow opportunities, and none more than the sixth inning. The Mets have an opportunity in the sixth inning with two on and nobody out, and Tyrone Taylor up, and that's going to be one of the decisions in this game, too. We could talk about the eighth inning, but there's a decision right there. And I was listening a little bit to Evan, and he was talking about that Tyrone Taylor's only had one sacrifice bunt in his career. But and you know me. I'm not out there trying to give bunts. I don't like giving outs away, especially two on, nobody out, pitcher in a little bit of trouble. But in that moment, up two runs, looking to pad, because you know that you're probably going to take out your starting pitcher after five innings. You know you're a little light in the bullpen. You know Maton has thrown three out of the last 4 days. You know what you asked of Diaz on Monday. You know where you are in this bullpen. And in that opportunity, in that moment in the sixth inning, that's an opportunity that you have to come through and figure out a way to score. And instead, first pitch fly ball, you don't get any of those runs in. They go 2-for-11 overall. They've got every inning except the third a runner on. You got multiple times with a guy on at second base. And they're just, whether it's Alonso, whether it's Taylor in this game, like, they just could not come through with the big hit. And this offense that has been there time and time again showed up small in this game. And you just got the sense as it was going on, it was going to be a tough ask, especially when you pull Manaea early. And that's a question mark of this game. I thought he was pitching enough. What was it? His pitch count was around 85 or so. Heading into that sixth inning, you know you're a little light. I felt like he pitched pretty well in this game for the most part. And I would have been confident giving him the opportunity that I gave Severino in yesterday's game. Instead, they go to Garrett, and he does a good job. You go to Stanek, he does a great job. And then we get to the eighth inning. And obviously, they should have done something else, right? But I don't know what the options are. Stanek has not been a multiple-inning reliever. You could have stuck with him. I know that's what a lot of people probably wanted to do. He did look good in this game, looked dynamic. Had that fastball, had the splitter going. You could have went to Diaz for the eighth inning. And here's then, as I'm looking at Fliegelman, I literally just read his tweet as I was heading in. There is an argument to be made. And we saw it a lot with Buck Showalter when Diaz was really at his best. And we've seen it a little bit with Mendoza. I don't know if you could honestly feel like you have Diaz for six outs. I think that's a stretch. I don't know if you can honestly believe the way he had to throw on Monday, only a day later, if you're really going to get six outs out of him. But you could go to him there in the eighth inning and get the top of the order out and feel like, hey, if he gets through it in 6 or 7 to 8, 9 pitches, maybe I have him for the ninth. If that's not the case, I'll have to figure it out from there. Maybe I give my offense another opportunity to score some runs. And then it makes it a more easy situation in the ninth inning. There is definitely a scenario where you go to Diaz and then you play it by ear after that. There's no doubt that's a scenario. But I don't know if I hate the decision to go to Maton. I think once he gives up the home run, and I think you've seen this from late inning relievers, whether they're closers, whether they're just one of your top guys, when they come in and immediately give up that home run, you can sense that it's not going to get better from there. And ultimately, I think he's probably going to take him out of the game, but he gets the double play. And once he gets the double play, he feels like, okay, well, now he's settled in. He'll get through the inning. And instead, he gives up the single and then the home run to Mitchell. And I don't think once the game is tied, you can go to Diaz. Because I know you want to win this game. I know. But it's not game 7. It's not win or go home. Tonight is now win or go home. And if you're going to bring in Diaz and then ask him to get out of the eighth and then possibly come into the ninth, and you're going to ask that of him once the game has already been tied, like I saw a bunch of people say, oh, you have to have Diaz up. All right, Maton, but once the home runs hit, you got to bring in Diaz. I don't know if I'm bringing in Diaz into a tie game. I think you have to have Diaz for the lead. So you could have brought him in the eighth, but when you bring him into the eighth, there's two major question marks. One, how effective is he going to be? And two, do I have him for six innings? And then if I don't have him, if I don't have him for six outs, who am I going to the ninth? You might have seen Maton in the ninth inning. So overall, listen, is there always something you can question about the manager when you go into these late inning situations? Of course. And Maton has been great for the Mets. And we talk about, you know, power arms, and that's what you're looking for, the swing and miss type stuff. When you get to these late inning situations, when you get into one game scenarios, you get into playoff scenarios, and Maton is more of the guy who spins it, makes you, you know, get you off balance, and he's not going to blow everybody away. I understand that. But he's been so good for the Mets. I don't know if I had a problem going to him there over my other options. Unfortunately, he looked exhausted. And the guy had thrown 3 consecutive games with only one day off in between, and it just felt like once he started to get the ball hit hard like that, that's when you try to go to someone else, whether it's Danny Young, whether it's, I don't know, Ottavino. Like, the options aren't great. I don't think you can go to Diaz once the game is no longer in your favor. Once you don't have the lead, especially with the offense performing the way it's performed, I can't waste Diaz knowing I'm going to need him tomorrow most likely. I could have went to him for the eighth, but I don't know if I'm going to have him for the six outs. And then if I don't, who am I going to in the ninth? Like, these are all tough questions. But ultimately, this game is on the offense. I don't think there's a doubt about it. This offense that's been so good, this offense that's been so resilient, This offense that's different. This offense we've talked about, that I've talked about, that I still have faith in for later tonight, didn't come through in this game and had multiple opportunities. And none more than the sixth inning. That inning is going to be the inning that comes back at you. Because obviously, you get the two guys on, you could pinch hit Taylor, you don't. You get to the situation where they have that weird, you're not sure if they called for the walk or not. And they walk Lindor to load the bases. And Iglesias, who's been great for this team, has an opportunity to come through. And he swings at a pitch 6 inches off the plate inside. Like, that's where the game is won or lost. In these postseason games, you know, it's hard to just get 3 runs in one inning to start to you know, to be done with your scoring by the third inning and have it be a 3-run game. That's a lot to ask. And especially when you pull your starter in the fifth inning, that's a lot of outs out of a tired bullpen to expect 3 runs to be enough. It's just a lot. And, you know, people are going to get on Pete Alonso, and rightfully so. But you look at it, no one's really driving the baseball. They hit home runs. They hit 3 home runs. The Mets didn't hit any. And if you look at the playoffs right now, there haven't been that many home runs hit, but the teams that hit them win the game. I mean, that's the difference. The Tigers hit home runs. The Astros didn't. I know I was driving in the game. I didn't see the end of the Atlanta game, but I saw, you know, Higashioka's hitting home runs in both games. They won. You've got to drive the baseball. You can't expect to single them to death for an entire series. And the Mets right now are not driving the baseball. As great as the offense has been, and I've praised them, it's great when you put together 6-7 hits and score 5 runs. It's not always going to happen. And these 2-out singles have been great. You're not always going to come through with them. And then we get to the game tonight, which is really what we're going to focus on. I'll let we get break down the game, but I want to talk about tonight's game because you've got an opportunity to go win the game. Quintana on the mound, right? Who do they go to in the lineup now? You got another weak performance from J.D. Martinez. Do you go back to Winker in the starting lineup? Like, what are the question marks for today's game? Because as much as last night was disappointing, and really, it clearly was, and there's a bunch of things to get to, as well as the defensive replacements late in the game that don't allow Vientos to come up in the ninth inning. Like, there's a bunch of different scenarios to get to in this game, and we will, 888-808-1019. But the bottom line is, this offense had a chance to bury this Milwaukee team. This Met team had a chance to bury Milwaukee. They bounce back again in that second inning, and they take the 2-1 lead. And Manaea starts putting up zeros. Even with the 1 in the 5th. The Mets there in the 6th inning, whether it was the first 2 guys on before the fly ball from Taylor, or whether it was Iglesias' opportunity with the bases loaded, multiple guys, you know, multiple innings with a guy on second base with an opportunity to drive him in. They had a chance to put this team away because they were begging for it. Let's be totally honest. This team wasn't hitting. This team had a manager that made a major blunder that the night before. This is a team that blew this exact series last year. This is a team that absolutely was primed to be put away. And instead, now you've given them life. And they have this come-from-behind victory, and they get to your bullpen. You know you're not going to see Maton anymore. Hopefully now you have Diaz, and that's part of it, too, that you didn't go to Diaz. Now you've got him for whatever tomorrow. Clearly everything's on the table. You'll have Peterson available either to piggyback a short start from Quintana, or possibly to get lefties out late in the game. Like, you have everything on the table for tonight, because tonight is a winner-take-all. Tonight is an opportunity still for this team that has shown it every single time, every single gut punch, every single bad loss. This is why we praise them. This is why we praise them. They lose to Atlanta. They go and have a miserable 2 games in Milwaukee. They win the last game of the season. And then they have the heroics like we have never freaking seen on Monday. They come out. They win the first game of the series. Tonight is an opportunity for this team to prove who they are again. And it's amazing that they're the only freaking team who ever plays Game 3s in this series. There has been 2 times in the history of this wildcard round that there has been a final and deciding Game 3, and the Mets have been involved in both of them. And hopefully this one ends different than that one did 2 years ago at Citi Field against the San Diego Padres. But they have an opportunity, and I still believe in them. But ultimately, and we'll get into this game tonight, the offense has got to be better. The offense has got to be better, and we can complain about the bullpen, and we can complain about all we want. The bottom line is they didn't score enough runs. They scored 3 runs in this game, and they had multiple opportunities, and they're going to have to start driving the baseball. It is tough to get through, and I was listening to Evan a little bit, and we'll get to Pete Alonso because I can sense it. Not that it hasn't been the topic of conversation for a while, but if this season falls short in Pete's possible and most likely now final year as a New York Met, like, I can just sense we are ready to turn on Pete Alonso. And he's done absolutely nothing. And the bottom line is, whether this is going to end tonight or they get through it, or they head on to the NLDS, onto the NLCS, onto the World Series, they are not going to win this whole thing. They are not going to make it through unless Pete Alonso starts hitting. Like, there's no two ways around it. He has had zero impact on this team. And it's very difficult to foresee the Mets ultimately doing what I do believe they're talented enough to do. It's going to be very difficult if Pete Alonso is going to be happy, and I heard him in the postgame, that he's happy with his bats because he drew a couple of walks, because he's got a first pitch, you know, bloop hit off a broken bat. He's had zero impact. Zero. And to be fair, let's be honest, in this series so far, it's hard to kill him. Other than, you know, a couple really sparkling plays defensively and you feel like his back is better, Lindor's been quiet in this series. And if they're going to get through this game, if they're going to win tonight and move on to play Philadelphia, this is going to be the stars have to show up. And for me, it's 3 players heading into this game tonight that we're focused on. 1, Lindor. 2, Pete Alonso. And 3, Edwin Diaz. Those are the 3 players that the Mets are going to absolutely need. And obviously Quintana, the starting pitcher. But those 3 players, they're stars, right? They're premium players. The all-world closer with the biggest contract. The first baseman looking for a big contract. And the MVP of the team. Those 3 players are going to have to come through if they're going to want to win this game later tonight. 888-808-1019. Let's take a quick call before we get to the break, because I want to get to you guys. Jimmy in the Bronx. What's up, Jimmy?
How's it going, Chris?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I've been better, but... Yeah. I just can't watch this guy bat fourth every game, batting fourth. We got to drop him down. He dropped A-Rod down in a game 7 or game 5. This guy's not better than A-Rod. He can bat 7 because he's giving you nothing. Today, first inning, we had them on the ropes.
Yeah. Well, didn't he bat 6th in this game?
A big blow. What's that?
I don't think he's batting 4th. I think didn't he bat 6th in this game?
No, he batted 4th.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5th. He batted 5th in this game.
He's coming up in big spots.
Yeah.
The first inning, we had them on the ropes.
Yeah.
How do you trip over your own bat?
Listen, do you think he's beating that out anyway? Like, I know the bat is ugly, and it's laughing, and you know it's LOL Mets or whatever, and it's LOL Alonso, and it's just it's an unfortunate situation. I think he hit into a double play no matter where that bat was. But yeah, no, I agree with you. It's a tough spot. And then he comes up in the 5th with Nimmo at second base, and he has a miserable at bat, swinging at that flailing at that splitter in the dirt. Terrible at bat.
The whole season, you've heard at least one guy carry the team for at least a couple of games, maybe a week. You've heard nothing from this guy.
No?
Nothing. He's done nothing, and he wants to get paid? He's out of his mind. He's like, if he even gets a job next year. I mean, I'm sure someone's going to be dumb enough to give him money, but you're going to end up taking a one-year deal like all these other guys.
Yeah.
He's fooling himself.
Yeah, no, listen, I'm not concerned about how much money Pete Alonso is going to make or where he's going to play next year. I'm trying to figure out how to get him now, but you could sense it. Like, he is going to be the guy everybody blames. He is going to be the fall guy. If this game doesn't go their way tonight, Pete Alonso is going to be the fall guy for the Mets. There is no doubt about it. And listen, he had a bad game. And he hasn't impacted this team in any way. Like, it's hard. It's hard to have the numbers he still had. It's hard to have 30-plus home runs. What do you have, 34 home runs on the season? It's hard to have as many home runs and as many RBIs and hit in the middle of the lineup and play every day and have as little impact as Pete Alonso did this year. It's really remarkable how he was able to accomplish being this invisible in plain sight. It's very difficult. And here he is again. And if we can get that cut, I don't know if you could find it for me. It doesn't have to be right now, Mike. But when asked about how he's feeling offensively, he said, I'm good. I feel great. I feel really good. I've had some good at-bats here, and, you know. You've had some good at-bats, all right? You drew some walks. You got a bloop single off the end of the bat that went shattering across the field with nobody on and two outs. You had an opportunity in the first inning to add to a lead just by driving a ball to the outfield. All right, let's hear Alonso on his thoughts on how he's feeling offensively.
Where do you feel you're at offensively right now?
Feel good, yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm taking pretty decent at-bats. Yeah, I feel really consistent. Just need to keep swinging, and good things will happen. Keep swinging at good pitches, and good things will happen.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'm glad he feels good. I guess it's better than feeling bad, but he's done absolutely nothing. And in this game, he had an opportunity in the first. He had an opportunity in the fifth. But to me, it's that sixth inning. The sixth inning is the devastating one because I really think the bunt there makes a lot of sense. And it's hard for me. I don't want to sound hypocritical because I'm usually against bunts. And Taylor's been so freaking good and giving you so many good at-bats that, you know, you want to play. If they're down, like, even if the game is tied, I might feel different. But the idea, they have a two-run lead there. I just want a couple more runs. I'm not playing for the big inning. If I'm down a run, I know that you can make the argument, oh, you want to tie the game. On the road, I'm not playing for the tie. I want to put up a big inning. But with a two-run lead in the sixth, and I know I'm done with my starting pitcher and I'm getting to the bullpen, I'm just looking for a couple more runs there. If I could figure out a way to get another run or two and make it a 3-4 run lead, that would put me in a much better position. I think Mendy might have missed an opportunity there with a bunt with Taylor. And I trust Taylor. I know he hasn't done a lot. I trust Taylor with the bat to get that bunt down. Now he can still come through, and so could Alvarez. And so could Iglesias after the walk to Nimmo. But I just thought that was an opportunity to get some runs, man. And that's ultimately where this game was lost. I know we're going to want to talk about the eighth inning, and I'll take your calls at it. 888-808-1019. I don't know if Mendy handled it perfectly, but I don't know the options he's got back there. I don't know how good they are. And yeah, once he gives up the home run, that's usually a telltale sign for me, and I'm looking to get him out. I don't know if I'm going to Diaz once the game is tied. And the game's already been tied. And when Maton was throwing warm-ups, I didn't think to myself, how the hell are you going to Maton? I really didn't think to myself, oh, why not Diaz here? I didn't think they were going to him for six outs there. But Cheerio hits two home runs in this game, obviously to start the game, and then in that eighth inning. And they hit home runs, and the Mets didn't. And the Mets stopped scoring after the third inning. And Pete Alonso and J.D. Martinez have really done nothing for a long time now. And I know J.D. had the two-run base hit the other night, so it's not a total killer. But I think I'm putting Winker back into this lineup for tomorrow. I could possibly move Alonso down. But Lindor, Alonso, Diaz. That's who I'm leaning on for tonight's game. Which, by the way, the Mets still have an opportunity to win this series. This series is not over. I still believe in this team, and they have responded every time they've been asked to. We'll find out if they got one more in them. 888-808-1019. All right, quick break. We'll come right back. Continue to take your Mets phone calls. Reaction to a loss in the game two of this wild card series. It sets up a win or go home game three, must win game tonight with Quintana on the mound for the New York Mets and an opportunity to move on to the NLDS in the Philadelphia. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Off your Phillies.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Manning calling signal, takes the snap, looks left, pops it up, first wide open, touchdown Giants! In the left corner of the end zone!
Touchdown!
With 35 seconds to go, the Giants regain the lead!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Big Monocle here with you. 888-808-1019. Talking about that brutal Met loss. And I know everyone's going to want to focus on the eighth inning. And it's easy to say, oh, leave Stanek in now. I mean, I don't know if I didn't feel like they had to leave in Stanek. I certainly didn't. I mean, Stanek is a guy now who's been pitching well, but, you know, I don't know how many times he's gone multiple innings for the Mets in recent time. And I didn't have a problem with going to Maton. I really didn't. Here's the issue. The problem with going to Maton is you pulled Manaea early. And then you had to get through the 6th, the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th. You went to Reed Garrett. He pitched well. You went to Stanek. He pitched well. You're going to Maton, and you're not going to ask Diaz off of what he did the other day to get you six outs. And it's not like he had a rat. Like, if he gives up, you know, two singles and a walk and you got the bases loaded or something, I don't know, a situation like that, maybe you bring in Diaz. But he gives up the tie game on the first swing. Now what do you do? Like, where do you go? Like, I think he probably should have pulled him. I think the double play eased his mind and said, okay, now I can get through the inning with him. And even the single, okay, you know, now he's giving up a single. Not a big deal. And then he gives up the home run. But that's, I feel like he probably wanted to pull him and then he got the double play. He probably had one more batter in him and then he gets the double play. And so Mendoza feels like, okay, now let me just get him one more out. And I'll worry about the ninth, see if we can score a run. And instead, he gives up a single. And then even then, he's like, all right, well, it's a runner on first, two outs. I got two outs. Like, just get one more out. It's Mitchell coming up. And he gives up the two-run bomb. So he was trying to steal outs a little bit. I think you got to pull him. I agree with that. I think he probably went too long with Maton, certainly. I don't have a problem going to him. And I understand, like, the options weren't great there. You could have went to Diaz in the eighth inning. You absolutely could have. But I don't think you're getting nine. I don't think you're getting the ninth if you bring Diaz out in the eighth. And this might have all happened in the ninth inning, or the Mets might have scored six runs. I have no idea. 888-808-1019. What would you have done, Mike? Real quick, Let's get the Phillies. Yeah, so this was a disappointing loss. Let's see what Mike has to say about it.
The first guess for me, and again, not without knowing that Diaz was only available for a few hitters.
Yeah.
Even if you thought you can get him more out of him, I would have gone to him to start the eighth.
Okay.
My belief is in the postseason, seventh inning or later, I go to my best to get out their best.
Yep.
So, and Mendoza said they like the matchup between Maton and Churio. I'd love to hear, if there really are some numbers that back that up,
free swinger,
then maybe I can live with it. Yeah. But at that point, and even if you only have Diaz for the three hitters, okay, hopefully he gets out 1-2-3, and then you go to Maton in the ninth to get out 4-5-6. If I only have Edwin Diaz for three hitters,
I wanted
him to face their three best hitters.
Yeah.
Or the guys that they've put at the top of their lineup, and one of the guys in that three is far and away their best hitter.
Do you go to Diaz after the home run? You pull Maton, would you consider going to Diaz to keep the game tied in the eighth?
Yeah, at that point, I think it's kind of a what. And then you're thinking, if this game stays tied, I have to. So I don't mind as much. Once you go to Maton, I'm okay with leaving him in. Now, later on in the inning, as it looks like he was maybe just kind of running out of gas, I might have made a move to take him out. But right there, I was okay with leaving him in.
Okay. And then what about the sixth inning? Would you have considered
when they were
bunting
at the plate?
Yeah, would you have, in that rally, they get Taylor up, first two guys get on, Taylor coming up, you got nobody out. Would you consider bunting Taylor there?
Well, it would have had to be twofold, because if you're bunting, you have to pinch run for J.D. Martinez.
Okay.
Because any decent bunt that gets down, they're probably still going to be able to throw him out of third.
Okay.
So you're probably pinch running. I don't think they'd want to do Acuna, because then you can't bring him in for defense later. So I guess it would be Bader. So that's why it's tough, because then it's Bader. Then you might be making the move to take out Marte a little bit earlier than you want. Who knows if Winker can even run right now, and he's not that fast. So that I probably don't bunt for, one, all of those reasons, and two, I hate bunting. I'm anti-bunt.
Yeah, I know. I'm normally with you, but that's
Taylor's been so good with the bat. I'm willing to take my chances with him.
It's not crazy. I certainly, it doesn't scream it, but there's just something about with the lead. I'm just trying to pad it there a little bit, but
because of how it would have met, I don't know how you would have handled because if you bunt there JD Martinez gets thrown out of third, the guy can't move.
Yeah, I know. I understand that. But if you get it to the third baseman, he's not going to get thrown out. You have to bunt it successfully. If it's to the pitcher.
Which I know we looked up earlier in the year when Taylor didn't bunt against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
He has only done once in his entire minor and major league career combined.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm not trusting him to get the bunt down there.
I think that's fair. I think it's a fair argument. I'm not killing Mendoza for it. In my mind, it crossed my mind when the at-bat came up. And I
agree. It crossed my mind, then I went through all the reasons of, he probably...
Yeah.
It probably would backfire, even though... agree with you. With the lead, I'd love to just add that second run and get that insurance run, but when going through all the other factors at play, it was like, this would just blow up in their faces.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. I don't think it's a big Mendoza game. I really don't. I understand what happened in the eighth inning. Relievers give up runs. They don't have a ton of options. And I don't disagree with you. I think we've seen Buck do it. I remember Terry Francona did it to the nth degree in the 2016 playoffs with Andrew Miller. Andrew Miller was their closer one night, pitching in the fifth inning the next night. Like, at any moment he felt the game was on the line, he was going to use his best reliever. I think there is something to that, no doubt. They could have used him for the eighth. But if they only have him for a couple of hitters, I just think they felt like they were afraid. If that doesn't go well, where do they go?
And I think it was the wrong move, but I agree with you in that it's not they lost this game because the offense couldn't come through.
Yeah.
And one player in particular, I know you're going to, in the next 4.5 hours, spend a lot of time on him. Pete Alonso not only doesn't come through, literally falls flat on his face.
I know. It's not a good look. And I understand it. I'm not, when I say, I know you're all going to blame him, I don't mean to say you shouldn't. He deserves a lot of the blame, but I'm just saying you can sense the fan base is ready to pounce on this guy. And it's not just him, but he is, without question, the face of, if this goes poorly, it's going to be bad for Pete. I don't know if he can come back. Like, that's where it's at right now. It's unbelievable. Matt in Long Island, what's up, Matt?
Hey, Chris, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
Listen, I just want to make a couple points. Listen, I agree. I think they pulled Manaea too early. I mean, most managers I've seen this done in the postseason you're not going to be able to go war for war with this Brewer bullpen with Montas because their bullpen's phenomenal. And I think you like six innings is the mark. You could you really be go to six innings in the postseason. But listen, it's a tough one. I mean, there's so many opportunities. I don't blame Mendoza so much. I mean, the good thing is the Brewers, they used a lot of their pen tonight because and for tomorrow. I do trust Quintana. I really do. I think tomorrow the formula, I think it's Quintana, Budo, Diaz.
Right.
Because I think that's how you got, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, I don't disagree. I mean, Buto has had a couple. Most of the time, Buto takes, very rarely comes back in 2 days. It had. I was listening.
I've seen it. I think this is a big spot. I know what you're saying, but maybe like an inning. It's just.
It's not that you can't. It's not that you won't go to him. You'll clearly go to him. The season's on the line. The question is, how effective will he be? I mean, that's the question because he hasn't done it that much. He's done it a couple times this year, coming back on 2 days, but it was always off, you know, minimal pitches. Yeah. But we'll see.
I think we need Quintana really tomorrow because
he's the Brewers starting pitchers always.
I mean, you don't see him much like 7-6 in the playoffs, but like I think he's the guy to do it. I think he pitched really good. I know it's the right season of the month. And the Brewers in the eighth inning, listen, I know Diaz, Maton, Churio's just a great hitter. I don't know what happens. Like, this Brewers lineup is just, it's really good. So, like, the matchup, maybe. But, I mean, I think maybe you should pull him after that Adames single because, like, it's like, all right, things are getting out of hand. I mean, like, the Brewers just shut the Mets down. Maybe it's unfair. I don't think the Mets are winning the game. But, like, their bullpen is so limited. I feel like the Mets are missing, like, a Tyler McGill, which maybe if they get in the NLDS missing at this point, a guy who can go long relief in, like, you know, three innings, which, unfortunately,
they have Peterson right now for that role.
I mean, he pitched Sunday, though, but, like, I feel like Peterson would be in the NLDS probably rotation, but, I mean, yes. They get ahead of that. But
no, I get you. I'm just saying, tonight's game, you have Peterson for that role.
Yeah, you do. That's another – I guess, but who would pitch game? I mean, I don't want to get hit, but who would pitch game one Saturday then?
I don't care. You'll figure it out. You got to get to game one. You got to win this game. This is everything you don't think about tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. And that's what I love. And here's the other thing. I know I would be. Let's get pumped. Let's go. You got a do-or-die game tonight, 7:08, all alone. All of Major League Baseball is ready for Saturday. All the other series are set. And we'll get to that, Yankee fans, because we talked about it a lot last night. The matchups and the way it's set up for the Yankees, we got to talk about it. But we'll do that later. But the Yankees and Royals are set. The Cleveland Guardians and the Detroit Tigers are set. The Dodgers and the San Diego Padres are set. Philadelphia is the only team awaiting. And tonight, 7 o'clock, the Mets are the only game in town. Do or die. I know that brings pressure. I know that brings a pit in the bottom of your stomach. But this is what we live for. I mean, selfishly, I got to tell you, I'm not happy they lost because I am rooting for the Mets. I want them to move on to the next series. I'm not disappointed that there's a do-or-die game tonight. Let's go. And listen, I still think Quintana's been unreliable for most of the season other than the last month. And he wasn't great he wasn't great Sunday against the Brewers, but he's been so good for the last month. He's pitched in big games before. He's pitched in postseason before against, you know, Tobias Myers. Let's go. Against this Milwaukee team, I still feel confident. That's the other thing. 888-808-1019. How do you feel? We could break down last night's game and how frustrating it is. It's already tomorrow. How do you feel? Mike in Queens Village. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how are we doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I just want to say I agree with your hunch in the sixth inning.
Yeah.
It had to be done. I know you worry about defense. JD gets on. You put in Acuna, you run. Now you got Marte gets that hit. You bunt him over. When you're not hitting, you got to manufacture runs.
Yeah, but it's not like they're not. They weren't hitting for three innings. They scored a bunch of runs last night. They scored a bunch of runs on Monday. Like, they scored a bunch of runs on Sunday. It's not like they're not hitting. Now we look back on it, they're not hitting. In the moment, it's been two innings they haven't scored.
I'm talking about this game in general.
I know,
not yesterday's game.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is they did they had a lead. They were scoring. That's the only thing I'm saying. Like, I don't know. I don't disagree with you. I just don't. When you say when you're not scoring, when you're not scoring, you're talking about the Orioles right now, who scored one run in both these games. You're talking about, all right, you got to manufacture things because they're not scoring. They had a 5-run inning the other night. They're winning 3-1 in this game. It's only been three innings without a run. It's not like they're not hitting. Like, I don't know. I like it because I want to pad the lead. I don't think Mendoza or the Mets should have necessarily felt like, well, I mean, how many hits do they have? And they have 8 hits in this game. How many hits did they have yesterday? They have 16 hits in these two games. Like, it's not like, oh boy, we're really struggling. We got to do everything we can to manufacture runs. I just think in that moment, all I need is another run or two, and I'll feel so much better than just, you know, a one-run lead there. So that's what's frustrating about it.
And absolutely, you do that, you get a ground ball, 2-1. You know, with the history of the season with Milwaukee, 2 runs is not going to beat them.
No,
you get that guy up. You got Alvarez coming up that could put one up. Now it's 3-1.
Yeah, I hear you. But if Tyrone Taylor gets a double in the gap, now you're even set up better than the bunt. Like, he's been good for them. He's been swinging the bat pretty good. But I have no, and also the part of the lineup, I have no problem bunting into Alvarez, who's been hitting a little bit, and then the top of the order. Like, if it were, you know, if it's Marte there, and I'm bunting into Taylor and Al, I mean, I guess I feel good about everybody in this lineup. But, I mean, I'm bunting back into the top of the order. That makes me feel a little bit better about it, too. But I don't know if it's fair to say, oh, the Mets haven't been hitting, we got to do stuff to manufacture runs. Like, that's just, this isn't, you know, the third straight game where they haven't scored runs. Like, they've been scoring runs. But, and that's why, I mean, I'm playing devil's advocate. In the moment, I typically don't like giving up outs. I don't like it. And in that moment, against, you know, that bullpen who struggled in game one, you know, I just don't know. I typically don't like to give up, especially the first out of an inning. Where I already have the lead, let's go be aggressive. But there was just something about in that moment, I'm like, hey, if you could bunt this guy over and get another run or two, I'm looking to pad this lead because I didn't have a lot of faith in the Mets bullpen going forward. Like, that's where I was. I was like, I didn't love taking Manaea out. I thought he could have went out there for the sixth. It's not egregious. I understand why he did it. I didn't think Manaea was vintage Manaea. He wasn't the same pitcher we've seen a bunch over the last month. He was solid enough, and I still thought he had another inning in him, and I was trying to stay away from the bullpen as long as I could because I don't really feel that good about Stanek, although he pitched well in this game. I don't know how I feel about Reed Garrett. I mean, they're both kind of in the circle of trust at the moment, but I don't feel great about them. And I knew Maton had pitched 3 days out of four, which is still a little bit a scenario where many bullpen guys won't pitch over the course of a regular season. And Diaz just went through what he went through on Monday. Like, I just felt like the bullpen was a little short to pull your starting pitcher there. And then once you do pull your starting pitcher, now I'm just trying to get as many runs across as I can. And the Mets had been successful in this series getting that sacrifice fly. They got a couple sacrifice flies in this series. So if I could set myself up to get an easy run, I thought it made sense. But ultimately, it's not something worth killing the manager, nor is how he handled the eighth inning. I don't think Mendoza, there are questions, and you could say I would have handled it differently, and maybe you want to say he screwed up leaving Maton in as long as he did. I'm open to that. But to me, it's about the offense not scoring runs. Danny in Queens. What's up, Danny?
Danny from Queens. Yes, that's me.
That is
hey,
you.
Hey, Big Mac, how you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy? I'm Big good. Mac. That's me. How are you?
Yeah, I know. I got to totally disagree with you.
Okay.
I think this is completely on Mendoza.
Okay.
I can't believe, first of all, I want to start with, please, let me start with, J.D. Martinez gets the walk. Have you not pitched run for him? If you pinch run for him, Then the next single, it's first and third. Then the sack fly, then he scores a run. Let's start with that. All right, we'll start with that. That's nice.
I mean, okay.
Then we get a nice fourth run. Yeah, that's great. Then let's go with...
You also lose his bat the rest of the game doing that, but okay.
No, I don't need his bat. He didn't do anything all day, so I don't need his bat. So he got the walk, I'll take it.
Okay.
Let's go with then, in the postseason, you got to roll with the hot hand. How do you not roll with the hot hand? You got Garrett. He got a clean in. I get it. He gets thrown out of second, stealing
yeah,
the base.
Alvarez throws the runner
out there. I would have rolled him out there to start it. Then Stanek throws a perfect inning. I throw him back out there for the eighth. How do you not throw him back out there?
It's easy to say. It's asking guys to do things they don't typically do. And it's easy to just say, oh, you roll with the hot hand. So, And then what if Stanek throws a good eighth? You throw him out there for the ninth? I mean, why stop?
Then that gets into the ninth.
If Diaz comes in and blows the game, I'm going to hear, why not leave Stanek in?
No, that's fine. If Diaz, we got to end and die with Diaz. If Diaz blows the game, that's it. That's all we got. That's all we got is Diaz. We got him at the ninth. I get that. But you got to roll it. You got to roll with the hot hand in the postseason. You don't just let it go. You don't just, it's not, there's not a script. In the postseason, there's no script. You don't go, I have A, B, C. In the postseason, that's not it. You got to roll with the hot hand. I would roll Garrett out to start the seventh.
Right.
And then short leash. Whatever he does, Stanek in, short leash. He gets it. Go to the eighth, short leash with Stanek, and then Diaz for the ninth. You don't bring Maton in after he's been pitching 4 out of 5 days. And he looked like he was throwing batting practice.
No, I understand.
I think a position player would have thrown better than him.
Well, listen, he did crazy. Get the double play. That's what I think kept him in the game for the home run.
No,
I wish he would have hit a double play.
That ball was smoke.
I agree.
It was just right after.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is you Maton has been good for them, and you're asking guys, I know what you're thinking, like, oh, you stay with the hot hand, fine. You're asking guys to go sit down for an inning, come back out, guys who don't do it over the course of 162. You can't just say that. You can't miraculously just say, in the postseason, I ask guys to do things I don't ask them to do all year long. That's not how it works. Yeah. It's not how it works. You can't just say, oh, he's never... We just talked about it with me and Fliegelman. We're just talking about the bunt. You know, Taylor's bunted one time in his entire career. Well, it's the playoffs. Now he's got a bunt. Well, what if he's not good at it or has an experience? Or bunts it up. Like, you all assume now without Stanek coming back out there, it's easy to say Stanek would have just run through the eighth inning easy. If Stanek comes out there for the eighth and gives up the home run, you're going to be like, why the hell would you ask him to do something you haven't asked him to do all year? Like, it's easy now that you saw what happened. There's no guarantee Stanek goes out there and pitches well again. There's no guarantee that Reed Garrett goes out there and pitches well again. These guys have been one-inning guys all year long. They play 162. You can't just suddenly, because it's under the guise of it's the playoffs, suddenly ask these guys to do things they haven't done. You don't know that they'll be successful at it. And then you'll really be kicking yourself going, man, I blew it trusting a guy I haven't asked to do that all year. But when they give up runs, it's easy to say, oh, you got to stick with him. Yeah, because he would have went out there and thrown three pitches and got three ground balls or three pop-ups, and they would have been on their way to an easy victory. We don't know. There's a chance that no matter what Mendoza did, they were going to lose this game. That's part of it. No matter who he went to for the eighth inning, might have blown it. We don't know. But it's easy to just say, oh, stick with this, stick with that. Sure. It's easy to say it now. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. 1 hour down, four more to go. Plenty of Met reaction. We got a game tonight. It's not quite game seven, but it is the best thing in sports. Elimination game tonight. Mets Brewers 7-0-8 to see who moves on to take Philadelphia. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.